everyone, and welcome back to the number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 17. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me today is the man behind the best Dizzy site ever, YolkFolk.com. And that's Andrew Joseph. How are you?
Hello. Yes, very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes, it's been a long time coming, so it's thank you for giving me the opportunity.
No, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I'm really looking forward to sort of like finding out how you got into sort of Dizzy and loads of other things. So let's start right from the beginning. How did you first get into gaming then, Andrew?
I'd like to say roughly about five, I think. My parents had a Spectrum Plus 2, and a friend of the family had a 48K Spectrum, and yeah, they were quite good into gaming. And I remember on the 48K, friend of the family had a game called Roadrunner, and right. Yeah, we were playing around with that. And my parents just gathered together a load of Plus 2 games, and then we started to go from there. So that they kind of got me into gaming.
Okay, then. So what was the first computer you had then? It was a ZX Spectrum?
The first computer that we had, yeah, was a ZX Spectrum Plus 2. And over time, I don't know how we acquired it, we managed to acquire the light gun for it as well, which is kind of a nifty thing for it. I think only five games came out for it, equally as rubbish as the next, but it was a good technology jump.
Okay, then. So, like, what I want to really know is, how did you first get into Dizzy? When was the first time you played Dizzy, and what Dizzy game was that?
First Dizzy game I played, I think, I must have played them before, but I remember going into Woolworths and seeing, I think it was Quick Snacks on a tape rotisserie thing, when they were selling cassette tapes in Woolworths. And I remember like going to my dad, like, can I buy this game? Can I buy this game? Because obviously I recognised Dizzy on the cover. My nan was going, why do you need these games? You don't want to play with these. My dad gave in to my pleading and eventually bought it. And I must have played, I must have played Magic Land as well at the same sort of time. But Quick Snacks was the first game I think I remember playing.
So what was it about this particular game that stood out for you and made you want to select it then from all the other games that were out there?
I remember my dad buying at some stage, I think it was Ski Simulator from Codemasters or Downhill Ski Challenge or something like that. And I just loved Codemasters games because, one, okay, at the time I wasn't aware of the price, but the amount of gameplay you could get out of their games, it kind of stood out to me. And because they had their own advertising and the way it looked and branded on the shelves, it stood out from all the other games. And, yeah.
Okay, I've got a little quick question for you, which you can settle a little dispute that me and one of my colleagues from Retro Asylum have. Now, you've played the C64 version of Quick Snacks as well, have you?
I have indeed, yes.
Right. So, which version of Quick Snacks would you say is better, the ZX Spectrum version or the Commodore 64 version?
Ooh, I might start a battle on my side about this one. After listening to a podcast and playing them myself, I have to agree with you that the Spectrum version of Quick Snacks is the best and probably the definitive version of the game.
Right. Yes. I'm glad you said that. So, Glenn, if you're listening to this, Andrew Joseph said this, you know, from Yolk Folk, so it must be right. Right, so, okay, so what was it about Quick Snacks that appealed to you then in that case?
I think it was mainly because of the story. I mean, as soon as I like booted up the game, I would spend maybe 10 minutes just on the title screen themselves, watching the Dizzy Mob play their music, which is something I hadn't really seen or in any other Spectrum game at the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it gave a whole backstory to how they were, you know, Zach's imprisoned each of the Yolk Folk. And it actually made me want to play on, rather than some games where you just load it up and go, you've got to save this one person. But the gameplay, it was more for what the Spectrum could do, or what I thought it could do, then seeing Quick Snacks and the arcade action of the game, you think, well, this is fantastic, and it just made you want to play more.
Well, I've got to agree with you. I think Quick Snacks is probably one of the best Dizzy games out there. The overall presentation, and the best thing is, it was only about $1.99 or $2.99, so it's quality.
I was going to say, if obviously people of the age where they bought it themselves would go, well, yes, I've only spent £2, and for that I've got loads of gameplay out of it.
And so where did you go from there with Dizzy then? What was your next experience with Dizzy?
I'd have to say, I think, I mean, obviously over time I have played them all, but from there I think it was Magic Land Dizzy. And when I played that one, that was one of the games where I'd play the other games and get stuck and go, oh, I might go back to it and play a different game. But Magic Land had everything in it that I in my head I would want from a Dizzy game. It had all the fairy tale stories and had a catchy music that would play throughout, which is why I'd always run it in 128K so I could hear over and over in my head the music for it. That kind of, in my mind, many people on the site may disagree with it, but Magic Land Dizzy probably encompassed my favourite adventure game out of the series.
So what was it about this little character that you liked? You know, there's loads of other similar games out there on the ZX Spectrum, but what was it about Dizzy that really made you think, wow, I can really relate to this character, I really like this character?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was characters like the Magic Knight games, I had quite a few of them, and it was mainly because it did exactly what it said. It was a cartoon adventure character, and the age I was then, and still am when I'm playing it, I get drawn into it, and I don't know if it's my imagination or how the game was meant to present itself, but I would get sucked into it and go, oh, Dizzy's got to climb through a forest in a massive treehouse, and I'd almost, even though I was controlling the character, I would will him on to make the big jump, and almost get frustrated at Dizzy rather than me if I failed the jump and go, oh, come on, you can do it again, and then climb back up the treehouse.
He's such a great little character. So my next question to you then, Andrew, is your five favourite Dizzy games, not in any particular order, because that's a little bit tough, but your five favourite Dizzy games, and if you tell us a little bit of your experience about the game and why you like the game.
Well, I'll have to say probably Treasure Island Dizzy, I'd have to say, would be one on my list, because I experienced it on the Spectrum, as with most of the Dizzy games, and it wasn't so much the One Life thing I'm picking for, it was the little in-jokes, like the Spectrum Abuser Mag bonus. And it's just, I didn't play the first Dizzy game until later on, so that one, for me, knowing that there was one before that, it helped a lot, and him stuck on a Treasure Island, I quite enjoyed that. My next one would be Magic Land, for reasons I said before about the music and how that would encompass my ideal Dizzy game. Fantasy World Dizzy, purely for another sort of mini bug, was that I'd always love to give the rat the bread, then take away the bread, and the rat would eat nothing and then disappear. That's one for the listeners to try on that.
You know what? I never knew that. So how do you do that then?
When you start, you've got, I believe, better not get this wrong, you've got an apple to give to a troll, and you've got some water and some bread. And you put the fire out with the water, and you collect the bread. And above you is this rat that goes left and right. And you climb up to the top, and in the path, drop the bread. Then immediately after dropping it, pick it up again and walk away. And the rat would get to the point where the bread is, and it will say, "The rat's been fed. Well done." Or something like that. And then it'll scare me off. And then you've got a useless bit of bread to carry around for the rest of the game.
You know what? After all these years of playing this game, I never knew that. It's probably my favourite game, Andrew, and I never knew you could do that.
Well, I don't think personally it was an in-joke, a bug that was meant to be in there, but it's just, I think it's a gamer with far too much time on his hands.
I
found that one out.
What was the next one then that you really enjoyed then?
Spellbound Dizzy. I first played on the Amiga. I got that as a Christmas present, and although it being far too long, again, the music on the Amiga was fantastic, and that was, I think, my favorite game, and the jump of graphics certainly from the Spectrum to the Amiga was fantastic. The way he'd fall into a cabin and rub his head and thinking, oh great, they've moved on and created new ways to express Dizzy to make him more cartoon-like. And I think I'd have to say probably the last one would be, I think, Fantastic Dizzy. I'd say they're not all in order, but Fantastic Dizzy is always kind of a special place. When people ask me, what game would I prefer to be released if there was a new Dizzy game to be released, I'd always say Fantastic Dizzy, because for people who remember the Dizzy series, and even newcomers, if they put a few save game states into that game, obviously I don't know how the coding side would work, that would be a fantastic game to have on a portable device, or even an Xbox. So
after playing the amazing remake of Prince of the Yoke, folks, I would love to see something like Fantastic Dizzy. And I've been playing Fantastic Dizzy recently, and it's like you said, with the save slots, that would really improve that game, because it is such a large game. I think the graphics look amazing as well.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously the mini games encompass all the old arcade games that were there, and some of the stories wrap it up quite nicely. So if they didn't decide to re-release an older game, they could start perhaps with that, and then move on to kind of like feed the fan base by doing that, then moving on to a new adventure. Not saying I'm dropping hints or anything.
yeah. So what was the version you played of Fantastic Dizzy? Was it on the NES or was it on the Mega Drive?
It was on the Amiga, actually.
The Amiga?
Yeah,
oh,
the, okay. It made full use of the extra 2 meg of RAM that you could get from the Amiga.
Right, okay.
And I think that the versions are pretty much identical and the same to them. And yeah, I think it's just a great all-round game.
Yeah, I think what Fantastic Dizzy did, it took all the best elements of all the other Dizzy games and just put them into one. And it's probably one of in my top sort of three favourite Dizzy games ever. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about Dizzy. Now, what I want to find out is, how on earth did you come to make this amazing site, or how did you get involved in Yolk Folk?
There's a great, fantastic site called archive.org that streams the internet and saves it all for you, so you can go back and search for different websites. But Yolk Folk started on the 4th of July 1998 by a person called Peter Thiel, who I've got to say hello to. He started this site pretty much at the same time as I started a different site, right, to focus on fan-made games. So over time, me and him got talking, and yeah, we thought, well, there's no really much point in one site focusing on just the original games and another site focusing on the fan games. Let's get together and make one big site, which is fantastic. Yeah. So shortly after that, we started working on it. So it's both me and Peter. And then gradually, there were other Dizzy sites online, like DizzyZone.org, and there was a Spanish one, Mondo Dizzy. And they would contribute, and we would share ideas. And it was quite... The community then, at least for me and Peter... was quite small, because there was only a handful, maybe 20 people that would really contribute compared to the hundreds now that are in our Dizzy community. And over time, collected and hoarded all we could to do with Dizzy. And for whatever personal issues, Peter then decided he didn't have enough time for Yolk Folk, which is fair enough. So I then solely took it over.
Yeah.
And since 2002, I ran it. And more recently, he's come back on board, and I've welcomed him with open virtual arms and said, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And another person called Ads, that's his forum name. Adam Markley helps now with the newsletter. And now we've created kind of like our own virtual office team to service the Dizzy community.
Yeah, because I've noticed you've got a great, fantastic team, because the site is one of my favourite sites actually on the internet.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'm familiar with Ads, because he sort of goes to the Retro Asylum from time to time as well to say hello.
He does. I have to say that he preempts what I want to say. So as soon as I think of like competitions or anything else, he's already posted it on the site, and I go, but it's fantastic that I'm thrilled to have a team around me that is passionate about it as I am and the rest of the community. So it's good to do it justice.
Well, I was going to ask you, so I've got my own sort of website, Retro Asylum, but I want to find out from you, how do you find the time to actually run a website like this? I know you said you mentioned you have the team, but how much time would you say you spend on it?
At the minute, if you think about with Yolk Folk now, what really happens to do with new stuff is whether a review in a magazine comes out or a new game comes out.
Right.
But back in 98, it was a manic, well, I say manic struggle, it was a big struggle to harvest all the information you could around the internet that was available at the time. And you know, whereas 10 years ago it'd be a full weekend or as many hours as you can scamper, now it's pretty much behind the scenes, it's more or less self-sufficient in the fact that if someone submits a game, Ads, myself or Peter will go upload, it's there in a big, which I have to congratulate Peter on his fantastic coding skills, because behind the scenes there's some manic robots trying to hold it all together.
That's absolutely fantastic. Now, you mentioned some of the fan games. Now, that was the next thing I wanted to talk about. Now, I've played some amazing Dizzy games on that. Some of my favourite being Winter World Dizzy, Volcano Island Dizzy, but there's loads and loads. And even Glenn from the Retro Asylum has actually made a few Dizzy games and has actually submitted it to Yolk Folk as well.
Yeah, I've played one of his 3D games he submitted, which obviously I can't pass judgment on one game without talking about all the other games. But the variety of games that people, I mean, there's over 140 fan games on the site.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, people like Jamie Douglas that make their own kind of range of Dizzy games. And I think Jamie's made more than the Oliver Twins and Codemasters and Big Red Software have made together. Yeah. And there's people who follow just his games. And the level of detail they put into it, especially with Alexandru's Dizzy Age engine, which I think is amazing, because you don't... I think Jet Set Willy has one, but you don't have a dedicated games creation package that you can just get up and go with.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Dizzy Age is an absolutely fantastic piece of games making software, because I'm fascinated by it. I've yet to make a game because I can't quite understand it. All I can do is just put a few tiles around it.
I have to confess that, I mean, back in the day there was only a few games creation software. I think the Games Factory was one, and Multimedia Fusion, and quite a lot of the fan games was built on that, and I've made quite a bit. But yeah, the Dizzy Age thing, in my eyes, I'm the same level as you on this, Andy, with Dizzy Age. But once you've cracked it, once you've mastered the how to do it, I'm sure there must be something there for us. We should make a game. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I've even mentioned it on the forum on York Folk ages and ages ago, that I was going to make a sequel to a Dizzy 3.5.
Oh, right. Oh,
I was going to call it Dizzy 3.5 Part 2.
Part 2.
And it was just going to be 4 or 5 screens, and that was it. Mm. But still, I can't get my head around it. But it's
amazing.
Those forms,
yeah. I mean, to anyone that's listening that does try it, I mean, obviously, it depends how much time you have on the software. Mm-hmm. But it does look like, at first glance, like a paint program, as you've said. But yeah, there's far much more behind the scenes. And also, if you are stuck, by all means, post on the community. There'll be somebody there. Yeah, believe me, do this, do that, or copy this code and you'll be away.
Okay, now we've mentioned the fan games a little bit. What I want to find out, what are your favourite ones so far that have stuck, you know, in your mind and you think that are equally as fantastic as the original Dizzy games?
Well, Jamie Douglas definitely has put to the forefront of Dizzy games. He keeps making ones every 2 weeks, it would seem. But I'd have to say that to fully show off, I think, what Dizzy Age is capable of, I mean, obviously, Codemasters have copyrighted all the original Dizzy games and all the original Dizzy material. But, I mean, I know I keep talking about Peter, but he and a few others have tried it, have made the original Dizzy games with Dizzy Age.
Yeah.
And that, to be able to take a piece of software today and create it so realistic, and, you know, even tweak bits that might have made the game broken, that is a brilliant feat to the community and to help them out. There are a few, as far as non-original games go, people have made little tester things, like I'm looking on the site now, for example, it's got Steve Rene has made a nice cup of tea, which I think is quite good. There are some, dare I say it, more adult games that people have experimented on, starring Daisy, which I have to say I haven't played myself. But yeah, there are so many more. You could quite happily start playing all the fan games and never get round to finishing them. There's just so many that keep appearing.
I think that was one of the first things that drew me to your site, actually. I think it's absolutely fantastic, and it was all these games. And being such a huge Dizzy fan, I was amazed by the variation of different style of games there. And I found them equally as good. For a while, for months, that's all I did was play those fan games. Well, superb, so...
Yeah, you know. I think that if and when, hopefully, fingers crossed, any other new official Dizzy titles do appear, I think you'll be hard-fetched to actually find, there as an original idea, if you took anything that the fan base has created. Yeah, as I said, I'm not then deterring anybody like the Olivers or Codemasters to develop any new games, but as I say, you can get your Dizzy fix, as it were, from any of the fan games, and the quality is just brilliant.
I mean, I'm still waiting for the day, and I think I put something on your forum there a few years ago, that if anyone was up to making Fantastic Dizzy, but using Dizzy Age to make it look like a Spectrum-style game, because I would definitely play that.
I think I remember your post, actually, and yes, absolutely, seeing some of the later games, as you say, like Fantastic Dizzy, that would be an epic coding session for whoever would attempt that. I don't think even Peter might attempt that.
Well, I mean, if anyone that's listening to this that loves Dizzy, if you're up to the challenge, please feel free to give it a go.
Definitely.
I'd love to see what that looks like. Even if it's just a few screens of the first levels, that'd be amazing. Mm. Now, speaking about other Dizzy games, you've uncovered a few other things, like a Dream World.
Ah, yes, yes. There is a Dream World. There's Wonderland. No, Wonderland Dizzy, and Dream World Pogi. I think I might have got that wrong. I shall.
Let's start off with a Dream World Pogi first, and then we'll move on to a Wonderland Dizzy. So, tell us a little bit how you got your hands on.
I'm over time, obviously being the position that I am. With the site, I've contacted Codemasters and Blitz Games and the Olivers themselves.
Yeah.
And they are more than happy to answer any questions you may have. And they're more than, yeah, even with your interview, the time that they give and the passion they have for the game that they've created is brilliant. And yeah, over time, me and especially Philip Oliver have started to create this relationship where I'd say, you know, I'm struggling with this. Is there any more information? And he'll go, yep, no problem. I shall help you out with this, which is absolutely fantastic. And I thank him for that if he listens. And basically what happened is that I got sent a box, this is quite ominous, which I did post pictures of on the website. Right. And one of them was this floppy disk. And right. I thought, okay, let's look at the sticker. And it said, I think it was Dreamworld Pogi unreleased or unfinished.
Wow. So what was going through your head when you saw this, Ed?
Well, I immediately thought, does it work on the PC? So I quickly borrowed a USB disk drive, as computers don't have floppy drives anymore, it would say.
Yeah.
And I put it in, and obviously there was some code there, but I'd experimented with ROM hacking and, you know, trying to upload parts of games before, but this, despite downloading various different programs, got the better of me. But I thought, no one's actually going to see this, or I can't get a graphic or any sort of thing out of it. But what happened was that when I finally gave up after many months, I posted it on the website. I said, there you go. You know, this is as close as I could get, guys.
Yeah.
You know, feel free, have a play. And some people in Poland decided, I could have a go at this. And literally within an hour, I think. I think grabbing the files. Hats off to you know, the Polish fan base of Dizzy. They got it working. It was buggy, which as the disc said, it was unreleased. But they could play it, and they posted the ROM back onto the site, and yeah, the people could now play what would have been Dreamworld Pogi. And now even they've unbroken the game and made more levels for it. So they've kind of developed it into their own official / fan game thing, which I think is brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. Mm. Now, this game was a game that never got released, was it, for the Nintendo, was it?
Yes, there was a screenshot, I believe, on the back of the, like, say, Game Genie. It's not, but there was a screenshot for it on the back of a game box. But that was all gamers had to go by, this fantasy game that never saw the light of day. And I don't even think that Andrew or Philip Oliver knew of its existence, nor did they think if we give him this disc, they would actually be able to see the game.
So what was the reaction from the Olivers, by the way, when this came up on the site? Were they like, wow?
Philip Oliver was pleased that they could, you know, finally see it and let the fans play it. They weren't, but they were, you know, they were over the moon with it. And
mm-hmm.
I parted ways with the box of goodies at the recent Dizzy breakfast that we had to welcome in the new Prince of the Oak Folk.
Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, Andrew, was Wonderland Dizzy. For me, that was one of the things that I was always looking forward to, and you might be able to give our listeners a little bit more information on that. So what was Wonderland Dizzy?
Well, Wonderland Dizzy would have been another game that would have gone on to a NES compilation game.
Okay.
I think it was Dizzy's Excellent Adventures or something like that. But what happened was they said, "Oh, we don't want another adventure game." So it kind of got shelved. And what happened was, is that the map's already drawn out. That's circulated the internet. But that's all officially I've been told, and that's all. I would if I could tell you any information, but there is none. Unfortunately, that game is nothing but a map. Which if somebody's so inclined on Dizzy Age, not saying anyone. I don't know if anyone's going to stop them from making it or anything, but everything's there for them to go, which is unfortunate. But
no, I've actually seen this map, and you know what it feels like to me? It feels like Magic Land Dizzy, bit like a reworking title of it, just like the way Disney Adventure was.
I think, I mean, especially going on to the console market, I think that was definitely the way they were going. Because as far as dates, that must have been drawn well after Magic Land, to put onto a cartridge. But yes, I agree with you with that. There are some elements of Magic Land in there.
Yeah, so it would have been an amalgamation of all the other Dizzy games included. So, yeah. Okay, now, you mentioned the Oliver Twins there. Now, what I want to find out from you is, like, when did you first get in contact with the Oliver Twins and how you felt?
Oh, kind of a bit in awe of these people that I've been playing their games and playing their character for many, many years. The first time I met them was, I think, in 2004 at the Classic Games Expo in Croydon, I think it was. It was just it was just Philip at the time.
Yeah.
I think Andrew appeared on another day. But yeah, I met him.
Was it a planned meeting, sorry, Andrew? Did you run up to him and go, hi?
Well, actually, I ran up to him and said hi just before he welcomed everybody to the event. It was kind of kind of like, oh, look, he's there. but yeah, it was kind of a... It wasn't kind of like, oh, you see your movie stars. It felt completely normal. These people are so... The whole gaming community is full of people that are so down to earth and so passionate about the business that they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... You go up, say, hello, I'm from yokefoot.com. And Philip said, oh, yes, I know you. Yes, you're the Dizzy guy. I remember him saying, yes, hello. And since then, we've been speaking about, contact. He's given me loads of information and stuff. And kind of that was it, really. He just kind of said, hello. And he went, hello. And that was,
Now, I completely agree with you. I find Philip and Andrew both really down to earth and really chilled out. And when I got them on the interview, I was amazed how friendly they were and down to earth.
I mean, obviously, with the business that they run, they're incredibly busy people, but the time they do give you is you come away with a great sense of feeling that you know what they're talking about, and they don't give it unanswered.
Okay, then. So now, I remember, I think somewhere ages ago, I saw like there was like a fan meetup that they got to go and see the Oliver Twins somewhere. That was a few years ago.
What happened was, I think it was one of the first, if not the first, Dizzy Age competition, which I think runs once or twice a year between Easter and the summertime. Is what happened is Alexandru on his site, he says, right, Dizzy Age competition. Anyone who makes a game can enter it. And one of the prizes that year, he contacted Blitz Games and they said, we'll give whoever wins or the top five people an open day. And basically that's what happened. And I feel pleased for Peter, who's one of, obviously, the Dizzy Age makers. He's the only one out of the yokefolk.com team that actually had gone to Blitz Game Studios and seen everything that they do there. And looking at the pictures, they had a wonderful time.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And to me, that I would be like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. I'd be just completely like in awe.
I know that they have this kind of like display cabinet with all their games that they've done and everything. And I knew that when I was in one of the many redesigns of Yokefolk, they took the time to take a picture of themselves with their a paper mache version of Dizzy, which they had in their filing cabinet, which I imagine they definitely took out, and they posed exactly how they did, I think, from the late 80s kind of
thing,
which I thought was fantastic, and it just shows the humour and how good people they are to take the time out and do that.
Now, earlier on you mentioned the Dizzy breakfast thing, so why don't you tell us a little bit more about that, and leading on to Prince of the Yokefolk, the HD remake.
Okay, well, last year Paul announced on the site that something may be happening, and I thought, okay. So basically what happened was that Codemasters got in contact with the Oliver Twins. Oliver Twins contacted me and said, hey, this thing's going to happen, it's going to come back. And you're accordingly invited to a breakfast at this underground restaurant type thing.
Yeah.
To welcome back Dizzy and have a Dizzy breakfast, which I think it was eggs with everything, which actually that was the only thing on the menu. You could have your eggs any way you wanted, which is kind of for the record, I had mine scrambled. But it was great to be kind of almost like part of a mini history, because you walk down and the buzz, it was a, how big was the room? It was a small kind of basement restaurant room, and it was packed full of people, and the Codemasters had their own camera crew there, which filmed the Dizzy Now and Then video. But there were so many people there, and the PR from Blitz, the PR from Codemasters, and everybody was buzzing and talking about Dizzy as if it hadn't left. And there was such a vibe in there. And we sat on this long table, and you know, we could ask anybody any questions they wanted. And it was such a family atmosphere. No one was there going, no, we don't like this. Don't want to be here. It's such a great atmosphere. Yeah.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about that Prince of the York Folk HD game. Now, I think it's absolutely fantastic. It's a little game, it's a short game, but again, for the price you're getting it, it's perfect for the Android or iPhone market.
Oh, absolutely. For the people that could play it on their iPhones or their Android thing. I mean, as I said on the Dizzy Now, it is absolutely brilliant that Paul had created this thing, and as I said in the video, especially getting the original people involved, because I don't think any other people could have done it. You know, Paul created I'd love to see his prototype, because he said he nabbed some graphics from Yoke Folk to then make what would go on to be the HD remake.
Wow.
And if he is listening, I'd love to see that. The Dizzy the Adventure and, you know, / Prince of the Yoke Folk, that is a great game to get anybody started with mm-hmm. Dizzy, because as you say, it's not too long. Yeah, there's no puzzle where you think, I'm stuck here. As far as what can I use this for, there's only so many things you could use an item on before you go, read her the joke, you know, do this. And even going so far as to update the non-usable items, like Death's Walkman to an MP3 player, which I
thought that's an amazing little touch that was.
And I think there was, as you go into the castle, you have a Dizzy plush toy, which potentially may be available in all good stores, which I thought was a thing. But it also did not take itself too seriously, and I think that is the key to any sort of Dizzy game, was that it didn't take itself too seriously, and you know, the fans loved it, and even people that never played Dizzy before loved it. And it trended on Twitter. It got to the top of the iPhone games list for a while, and you couldn't ask for more than that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had to get it ASAP. I think I can't remember what day it was meant to come out, and as soon as it hit midnight, that was it. I had to buy it there and then on my iPhone.
And
it's a little game that I play from time to time.
Absolutely. I think when we were there, we got, as part of privileged guests for the grand opening, we got given a chance to play it on a special iPhone. So I was there playing the game that day. And also we got given out the game before the release. Not too long before the release, but...
Yeah.
And the opportunity to kind of feel part of that, as say, part of the history... As a reboot, that is brilliant.
So let's move on to the next subject. I want to talk a little bit about the community at York Folk that you have down there.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Okay. Well, over the many, many years that York Folk has existed, we've had various states and stages of our community from a specific website, which Peter started, which then integrated it into a forum and other Dizzy websites kind of integrated into that. And at the minute, just looking at the stats here, we've got 1,843 members. That was, though, was since that forum had been restarted, which was many years ago. I would love to say an actual figure of the amount of users that have accessed the site and our total hit counter, but I think that's probably going to be impossible. But as I said, the community, there's no kind of, how can I put it, there's no kind of no one's having a go at anybody else if they're stuck. You know, everyone's more than happy to answer any questions that anybody has. Occasionally we kind of flag things. We as the site, I always see it as kind of, we try and stay as far back as possible and just let the site thrive and, you know, let the community not sort it out for themselves, so to speak, but kind of interact with each other. And occasionally we'd say, yeah, if you're making a fan game, put this little disclaimer in, or, you know, if you're using these graphics, use that. But you'd be hard pushed to find, I think, kind of a more comprehensive community forum, so to speak, for any other game. I think there's so much information you can find on there.
I think that's why it's one of my favorite websites ever. I mean, you've got the amazing forum down there. Everyone's really friendly when I've visited down there. And there's other things as well. You've got little Dizzy comics. You've got you've got music. What other things does this site have, then? Let's plug it as much as we can.
this site, I've tried to kind of condense down what I would love to call it. It basically is, and I've given it many different titles, from which is why now we've settled on it being called the Dizzy Fan Site rather than Yoke Pack Dog, which is basically is that it is anything you could ever possibly want to know about Dizzy is on this site, and if it isn't, let us know. But as there is some of the navigation, I do have to sort out. But because the site is so crammed full of information and things, it can be a bit kind of I can't find what I want, which is why the site's always evolving and always trying to provide the user and fans such as yourself the best opportunity to kind of relive the days and find out more stuff about Dizzy.
All right, and do you think we'll see another Dizzy game coming out from the Olivers?
Oh, I'd love to quote Philip and Andrew by saying never say never, but I would love, me being me and me trying to push buttons, I'd say yes. But that isn't though saying that I've heard anything, because I haven't.
Right. See, I mean, if I'm waiting for a Dizzy game, I'd love to see Fantastic Dizzy. And if Andrew and Philip are listening to this, please, 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 please make Fantastic Dizzy.
It would be interesting, definitely, to see Dizzy's next, because they released years ago the 3D kind of Dizzy trailer on FantasticDizzy.com, and that might be worth. But Philip and Andrew both openly said, you know, nowadays games cost thousands and thousands of pounds to make.
Yeah.
You know, whereas back in the day it was such as the Oliver Twins, two people coding in a bedroom non-stop.
Yeah.
There's so much money involved in a Dizzy, in any project now, and it's just, I think it's more watch this space than,
I mean, the way I see it is Dizzy was the king of the budget back in the day. It was like a game, if you saw Dizzy on it, you could pick it up and play it for a cheap price, and the iPhone or the Android is a perfect market for that, where you can make games, you know, on the cheaper rather than on the grander scale. So I think it would be fantastic.
But I think back in the day, obviously, you know, it was the British equivalent of Mario or Sonic.
Definitely.
And anybody of that era would go, oh, yeah, Dizzy, I remember that. I mean, not so much the American people, even though it did seep over there. But as you say, the mobile market would be, as I said, you know, to dip the toes in the water, as they have with Prince of the Ape Folk, and we should see what happens.
Fantastic. Okay, now before we start rounding this up, let me get your final few words on Dizzy then. So why is Dizzy so magical, and why do you think the community and everyone's embraced him so much?
I think that Dizzy hasn't yet reached his full potential. I think that there is so much you could do, which I think in some respects is why it hasn't been done, if you know what I mean. There's so much you could go to cartoons, you could do occasional stuff, you could do more of the same adventure stuff, the arcade stuff. The Oliver Twins have created this world, this fantasy world with, you know, an entire family and Zax and all the bad guys, you know, in the background. And there's so much stuff, there's so much potential for the Yoke Folk and Dizzy to have even more adventures. It's mind-blowing to know what could happen next.
Yeah, I'm in complete and total agreement. I think you're completely right. So, right, before we round this up, would you like to give any shout-outs to anyone, plug anyone's sites, or anyone in particular?
Well, as we have the time, really, I would love to thank Peter and Adam again to help me with this site, because believe it or not, we haven't properly spoken. We've kind of spoken online and shared ideas, but way back when in the day, we have Melanie and Tommy from another UK Dizzy site and another Spanish Dizzy site, who kind of, we kept each other going during those difficult times, and also the whole Dizzy community that never stops to come in with more information and fresh ideas to, you know, since the last Dizzy game in the 90s, well, now in the 2010s plus, it's thank you to the whole Dizzy community. Thank you to Andrew and Philip Oliver for making the world Dizzy, as I put on the website, because it's, you know, without them, none of this would have happened. And I think that they should be more than pleased with themselves as to what it has evolved into.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one final question. I keep throwing more questions at you.
That's all right. Go for it.
Where is the future of Yoke Folk, the, you know, Dizzy fan site?
Oh, now that is some. There may be some competitions happening in the future for fresh ideas for the website, because I've got more ideas in my head than I can actually. And Peter code for the site. I mean, what one of the ideas was, I think, was to make it to kind of get rid of all the information, like all the scrapbook stuff and everything, and make it more more of an interactive flash cartoon. Right, so people would enter into, like, 5-year-olds could visit the site and go, oh, look, I like this character. So they'd kind of grow up with it and kind of want to do more with him. And, for example, all the information of all the original games could be in Grand Dizzy's chest. I think, as far as coding goes, that's maybe beyond me, but might not be beyond other people. So that's... I am thinking of creating a kind of a graphic competition. That sounds quite horrible, actually. I'm thinking, I'll rephrase that. I'm creating a competition where people can bring to us artwork, which I think then opens it out to everybody, because everyone could kind of draw to some extent and hopefully even use some of their ideas into the site, and similarly they'll be rewarded for their input.
All right, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. So why don't you tell us where we can find the sites?
Well, the site, as always, is www.yokefolk.com, and have fun.
Andrew, I'd like to say thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Now,
thank you.
It's been a real interesting experience for me, because, like, I am a fan of your site. I absolutely love it. And when I messaged you on Twitter, I was like, oh, please hope that he says that you do the interview. And, yeah, I've really enjoyed doing this, and I'm sure all our listeners will enjoy listening to this. And I really encourage everyone, please head down to yokefolk.com. It's the best Dizzy fan site ever, and you can't go wrong there.
Thank you for giving me at least the opportunity to kind of credit people and in ways that I probably couldn't do and thank them on the site itself. So thank you, Andy, for the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. I just thought, what better way to celebrate Dizzy's 25th anniversary than the person who actually is in charge of the site. So thank you very much, Andrew.